Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews the CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now here's your host, Jason Miller.
My special guest today is Doreen Andrews, the Peace Corps' Chief Information Officer. Doreen, this is a second engagement for you back on my show. Thanks for coming back on.
Well, it's really exciting to be back, and it's been almost 3 years, so it's a good time to find out what's been going on.
Well, I'm excited. So last time we spoke was, you're right, April 2011, which doesn't seem that long ago, but when you think about it, so much has changed over the last 2.5+ years. So at that time, your top priority was to reinvent how you do technology, the refresh cycle, with an eye toward obviously lowering costs and lighter weight technologies. How are you doing with that? Have you had some successes?
We've had a very good success with it. We've redesigned and really dramatically improved our infrastructure equipment, how we prepare it, how we package and ship it to posts around the world, how we load the software and move data from the old infrastructure to the new. And we've actually changed roles between the post IT specialists and our headquarters folks, and it's reduced travel costs. We've piloted the whole process at 3 posts this summer, and we've been able to show that even when areas of low connectivity, we can successfully do this. We are now in the deployment for our international, what we call the Inter-American Asia-Pacific region, and that'll be completed in February of 14, and then we start our 2 other regions quickly after that. Our HQ deployment staff now only travels about 10% of the time, and we do all the data and software transfers over the wire. Our IT specialists at posts have been trained and equipped to image their own workstations for staff, to train post staff, and assist in the infrastructure installation. And then in the spring this coming year in 14, we're planning our next cycle where we're going to look at upgrading all our standard system software, such as server operating systems, SharePoint, System Center, and things like that. So, and that's all going to be done over the wire. To support the operation, we've reduced the number of posts with satellite internet from 22 to 7 since I talked to you last time. And we've installed regional specialists around the world to provide posts with more responsive support. So we're really pleased that we've been successful with this and are moving out on it. What's interesting is it took cultural as well as technical change to make this work. Our engineers really had to get used to the idea of letting go of all the control over our installations. But it's really going to result in lower costs, stabilization, and better reliability in our global infrastructure.
Wow, I mean, that's a huge difference.
It is a huge difference, yes.
Let me ask about the deployment staff, the headquarters deployment staff. You said they are going to reduce travel to only about 10% of the time. How often were they traveling? 30, 40, 50% or even more?
100%.
So they were always out and about going to different posts and stations and helping them with their IT.
Yeah, when we did a refresh, when I came here in 2010, all refresh was about headquarters people going out to the posts and making the changes. We only do that now when there is an unusual situation at the post where they need additional help.
So one of the things you did was you had some IT specialists now at the posts. Was it people you hired or people you found locally? How did that work?
Well, the IT specialists at the post have always been there. There's one IT specialist at every post. What we did is we strategically placed what we call regional IT specialists. There's only 6 of them around the world to provide business hour support. The problem we had before was that if you're in China or the Philippines and your server goes down, you couldn't even get a hold of us until the next day. Now we have a person in Asia who's able to respond immediately, and we have an alert system built back here so that our folks can come in off hours to do repairs. So it's dramatically changed how we support our posts.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they probably feel like they're getting more traditional customer service. Like if you call Microsoft or Dell or any or HP and say, my computer's not working, there's always someone there that potentially can help you, or at least a big chunk of your day. Was that the theory behind it? Start treating them like you get in the private sector?
Well, yeah, and that's part of it. And the other thing is that we just weren't using our resources as smart as we should. So we instituted the regional IT specialists, and we've empowered the IT specialists at post to do more things and to support their people more effectively. We do new training with them and that kind of thing. So it's really become an integrated support system.
You mentioned that the way you ship technology, the way you upload software. Can you just give me a sense, were you used to shipping, you know, huge pallets of PCs and computers and other equipment, and now are you shipping lighter weight, so meaning tablets or laptops, or is it even different than that, meaning you're looking at just a whole, you're buying it maybe from a trusted retailer in country somewhere?
There's a little combination of things. Mostly the difference is when you have an infrastructure, you've got servers, you've got security equipment, you've got backup tapes. They used to be tapes, now they're disks, and that kind of thing. And we would send all of those pieces or parts to a post, and then one of our headquarters guys, one or two of them, will come out and assemble all that. Now we build them here in the United States through our supplier, and it's a rack with everything in it. The infrastructure software is loaded on it, and we send it out to the post. The post receives it after it goes through customs, and then they work with our headquarters to position it, to plug it in, to do some testing on it, and then we do over-the-wire transfers.
I imagine that just saves not only money, but also time and effort, and it's quicker. I mean, if you can plug it in, do some minor testing, you could have a new infrastructure or an updated infrastructure up in a matter of days versus probably weeks.
Well, we actually do it over a weekend. And the key to this is that it allows us to do posts more quickly. So we're able to do 20 posts in 2 months instead of 6 months.
And from a cost-saving standpoint, I know you've only done a few posts and it's been a pilot program. Can you give me a sense of, are you seeing just initially a 10%, 5% cost savings, even more, even less?
Well, because we're still in just coming out of the piloting mode, we haven't done all the financial analysis, but we certainly haven't increased our costs, and we have certainly reduced our travel costs.
That in itself is probably a huge cost saver, as you said,
yes,
going from
is.
100%
yes,
to 10%.
When you think about the fact we used to send two people from my shop out for a month at a time to do two posts or three posts, and now we can do two posts a weekend.
Now the question is, are your people mad that they can't leave and go to sometimes very nice places for a few months, or they're happy that they can be with their families and sleep in their own bed?
Well, it's really interesting. Some of the folks that were originally hired, we came here because they were going to get to travel internationally. So we've lost a few people because we are no longer traveling. But that's part of the cultural change we go through. And so those that stay have adjusted. We still do send people out for security assessments every year for a few trips. And we will go out for those difficult situations. So there is some travel, but certainly not putting people on the road for months at a time.
All right, well, let's jump over to another priority. Last time we spoke, it was all about virtualization of your data center, moving to the cloud. This is something, a common refrain I hear from many, many CIOs. Where are you guys with moving to the cloud and virtualization?
Virtualization's been a huge success here. We've reduced the footprint of our data center here at HQ at least 50%. So that's been a big win for us. And our ability to stand up a new server and everything, we can do it in a matter of hours as opposed to days, you know, with physical servers. So that's been a real success. We've been much more cautious about going to the cloud, though, because one of the things I kept saying is I don't see where the cost savings is. And so what we're doing is we're using cloud solutions very selectively. For example, because of the high volume of traffic that our PeaceCorps.gov website has, we put that in the cloud last year so that the volume of traffic we can expand or contract very easily, and it's all maintained outside our network. We're installing a cloud-based perimeter network monitoring tool and system that allows us to monitor not only email traffic, but also web internet traffic, which we've never been able to do globally. And so, and in the meantime, we're also saving at least $500,000 because we don't have to buy equipment and put it in every post around the world. So there's real advantages to specific use of the cloud. Right now, we're undergoing some major research on email for cloud because we have international as well as national email. We are also looking at creating our enterprise test lab in the cloud, and we're also looking at perhaps moving our disaster recovery site to the cloud as the equipment we have ages and comes to its end of life cycle. The other thing that's happened is if you know, we have the NARA records management requirements upon us now, and so we're using that opportunity to determine what our storage requirements are going to be long term. And also, we have a lot of media and that kind of thing, and that's growing in terabytes very fast. And so we're looking at cloud solutions for that, so we don't have to maintain it here at headquarters. So it's starting to make functional sense to go to the cloud, and we're doing that. We'll be doing that over the next year.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, I want to delve a little deeper into cloud, especially the cost areas, because that's another thing I hear often from other CIOs. But first, we'll take a break. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Doreen Andrews, the Peace Corps Chief Information Officer.
As a manager, you need to know how you can make your organization more efficient. Listen for Management Friday on Federal News Radio. We bring you information on the keystone of success for any agency or business. Friday mornings at 10, listen for AFGE's perspective on inside government. Next at 11, Shaw, Bransford, and Roth talk about the legal implications of management decisions on Fed Talk. And at noon, listen for Fed Access with Derek T. Dort to hear what career options may be available. Management Friday, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Doreen Andrews, the Peace Corps Chief Information Officer. Now, Doreen, before break, we were talking a lot about your look into the cloud, and you said something that I think is just fascinating that I think a lot of CIOs maybe either don't talk about, or at least a lot of CIOs don't want to talk about and kind of want to skip right through it, but is there cost savings in the cloud? Can you talk just a little more about what your concerns are, what your research is showing you? And you said something at the very end about you're seeing a functional reason, a mission reason to move to the cloud versus just a cost reason. Give us a little more insight into your thinking around those areas.
We have a very tight budget here at the Peace Corps, and therefore I don't go and say, oh, we need this because it's the new and greatest thing. So I really look to justify what we do, not just in terms of cost savings, but also in terms of functionality. For example, we are now doing formal research on what part of our operations makes sense to use cloud on. Major applications, we have major systems in the cloud because it just makes sense for us to do that. And because of the volume of work, for example, our application system is in a cloud because the volume of activity that we have against it can change dramatically from time to time, and the cloud solution allows that to expand and contract. On our network, that would be a lot more difficult, and because we have a kind of constant level of traffic within our secure network. The other thing is we are researching it. We will probably look at putting perhaps a request for information or an RFP out there sometime next year for some specific functionality, and we don't know exactly what that is at this point. And because we really want to spend our dollars smartly, because I can't keep increasing staff here, we'll use cloud solutions because it will allow us to really let go of a lot of the backup activity and maintenance activity that occurs when you have your own hardware on site. So I'm looking at those factors, and maybe we'll see something coming out of us third or fourth quarter this year.
When you look at your applications and what can go in the cloud and what can't, what are your one or two or three things that you say has to be met for me to say yes to the cloud? Is it a security issue is number one, and then it kind of goes from there? Or are there other mission functionals first and security second? How do you weigh those options?
Well, it's security and then access. For example, everyone's experienced this. When you use a cloud solution, there may be transmission delays because you're on the internet. You are working through those kinds of connections as opposed to on our network here. We've really got dedicated lines and dedicated circuits and things like that, so we can really manage the transmission rates and things like that. So I don't want to go to cloud with email if my posts around the world can't get their email quickly and easily.
And because email is such a way people communicate, especially when you're talking about people who are 12 or 14 or even 6 hours ahead of you or behind you in time, it makes such a big difference.
It does. And so we think that the marketplace is maturing now with international solutions that will make it feasible for us to start to look at some of this stuff.
All right, very good. Something to watch out for over the next few months. And when you start getting all those calls from vendors, you can hopefully blame me. One of the other things you talked about last time when we talked in April 2011 was agency business modernization. And you said at the time, I want to empower, or I am empowering, the business folks to make better use of technology. Give me a sense, how's that effort going? What benefits are you starting to see?
Well, it's really interesting because when we started out with business modernization, we were defining it as workflow automation and the elimination of paper. And we ran an Office 365 SharePoint pilot with two applications. We came out of that saying, you know, this isn't exactly what we thought it would be. And what we've decided is business modernization is all about information management and access. So we gained a lot of experience with, as you know, we're a Microsoft shop. There's no secret about that. We are using Dynamics CRM, and we built an application for health screening that's part of our application process for candidates. And we found it very helpful, useful, powerful, easy to maintain. So we are in the process of architecting our core information databases, which are old, fragmented, and flat instead of relational and dynamic. And we're using Dynamics CRM as the foundational structure for that. Our second really major business automation is our grants management system, which is a Dynamics CRM solution, and we'll be launching that in December and January. So we were able to work with a vendor who had a template solution for grants management on Dynamics CRM platform. We're bringing that in-house. We've spent 2 months configuring it to our requirements, so there's no coding going on except for a small portal on the front end for the volunteers. And we're automating a worldwide process for which volunteers apply for grants. They get reviewed. They get granted. The money goes out. And then we're able to report back to our donors and sponsors how those grants were used, the progress, and it's all an automated process. And it was done through this Dynamics CRM solution. So we're very excited that this is the foundation for us moving forward. And if you interview us 2 years from now, just before I retire, you will see that most of our core systems will be in this Dynamics CRM environment. We'll have automated user-driven dashboards. Information will be shared. So we're very, very excited. And we have an architectural strategy to move us in parallel with our old systems while we build this new structure. And then as we build new applications or redevelop applications, they're built on this new structure. So it's very exciting.
So I promised I will interview you before you retire, and at least once, if not twice, because now that I have that on my calendar, I will bug you for that.
Thank you very much.
Well, let me ask, when you say Dynamics CRM, when we think of CRM, it's either content or customer relationship management. Give me a sense of how you would define a Dynamics CRM framework.
A Dynamics CRM framework for us is a foundation. It's a platform that allows us to build applications quickly and easily because we minimize the amount of coding that's required. In other words, Dynamic CRM provides built-in functionality in terms of the screen development, in terms of relating data entities to each other, and the ability to build in workflows and build small applications that come off that use the same database. And therefore, it allows us to integrate and connect our business. We have volunteers, we have partners we have to keep information about and communicate with. We have return Peace Corps volunteers. We have our posts and our staff that all we need information about that, able to grab it and present it to different people when they need it. And today, some of our reports require us to go into four or five different databases and pull out data and put it together in a format and then present it. And that's all hard coding today. We want to let go of all of that.
The Dynamic CRM seems not only exciting, but it just seems like it's moving you guys toward that idea of agile modular development and in a standards-based way.
Well, that's one of the things we did in the past year and a half is my director of software development has been brought in the Agile methodology when he came with us, and combining Agile methodology with what we used to call joint application design, which is really a workshop-based rapid application requirements gathering because you're working cross-organizationally with many different stakeholders in a requirements effort. It allows us to cut in half the time it takes for us to develop a system.
Very cool. Very cool. I think every agency is actually looking into that same approach to if they can develop more quickly, they can get the benefits more quickly as well. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about your new priorities since we've spent most of the show talking about your older priorities. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Doreen Andrews, the Peace Corps Chief Information Officer.
So, guess what I just heard?
You mean about the Roth TSP?
Okay, yeah. Well, also
that bid protest on the DoD contract.
Right. But did you know
who the Senate confirmed for the administrator's job?
Well, what about
OMB's digital strategy?
Jeez, how do you know everything that's going on in the federal government?
I know because I signed up for Federal News Radio's email alerts.
Be in the know and know it first with Federal News Radio's email alerts. Sign up today at federalnewsradio.com. Search email alerts.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Doreen Andrews, the Peace Corps Chief Information Officer. So, Doreen, we spent most of the show talking about your old priorities, though you have sprinkled in plenty of good new stuff you're doing. But let's talk about your new priorities. What are other things you're trying to get done over the next 6 or 9 months?
There are a couple things that we are just kicking off and that I think are very important. One is we're launching our new volunteer reporting tool, which will allow us to report up all the good work that our volunteers do around the world within a really well-structured strategy and objective framework that will literally roll up into our reporting to Congress. And it will dramatically improve the accuracy and completeness of our reporting. So we're very excited about that. The other thing is we're doing is we are really looking at an alternative for RIMS BlackBerry. We've held off about as long as we can because of our international encryption needs, and it looks like the marketplace has matured, so I expect within the next 6 months we'll be replacing those. The other thing is we're kicking off a major health system develop configuration and project. We're using open source software, so we'll be configuring and we'll be able to putting automation out at the post with connections to headquarters to automate volunteer health records because the safety and security of our volunteers is so critical. The other thing we're looking at is really playing a major role in the redesign and development of our application process. We are looking to provide right away more transparency for candidate volunteers in terms of where they can serve, what kinds of jobs they can do, and that kind of thing. And we're not only changing the business process, but we're upgrading our technology as well. So I'm very, very excited about that.
And of course, changing the business process and upgrading technology have to go hand for hand, right? You can't repave the cow path.
Well, that's a big thing that's happened. It used to be that people didn't like working with us, so at the very last minute they call us and say, we need technology. Well, that's changed. Now we're actually leading the sessions to redesign the business so that allows the business people to make the decisions. So I'm very excited about our role in front-end business process reengineering. The other thing we're doing is we're really looking, hopefully, if we can get the funding, to do a mobile app to better identify, develop, and manage sites at which volunteers do their work. And that's a global priority for us. And lastly, we're really making major strides. We're working very hard to adopt the FSMA risk management framework and implement continuous monitoring in all aspects of our production environment to protect ourselves against vulnerabilities.
All right. So a lot going on. You're a busy woman. No wonder it's going to take you 2 years to retire. I wanted to go back on starting off to talk about the move around mobile devices and connect it back, obviously, to the mobile apps. You guys are, you said, a big user of the RIM BlackBerry product. You said you're going to replace those, but that doesn't necessarily mean stop using BlackBerry, and you're going to upgrade to a newer set of mobile devices, or are you decided to get out of BlackBerry totally and move into either, you know, Droids or iPhones or Windows, Microsoft Windows, or whomever?
Well, that's what I'm going to find out from my research team in the next week. Well, we have set an engineering team to do full market research and to see what our options are and the pluses and minuses. Today, we're reviewing their research with our regional directors who really manage and oversee all our post operations, and we're going to identify some of them to participate in some exercises of new technology. So we don't know exactly what we're going to end up with yet, and they've kept me in the dark on purpose so that they really can take a very objective look at the marketplace.
How do you deal with the fact that when you have volunteers, they're going to bring their own technology, they're going to bring their own smartphones or their own tablets? Do you guys have a bring your own device policy yet, or is that something that's part of this kind of relook at the way you treat mobile?
For staff, we have both the BlackBerry, and then we offer good technology, which allows you to bring your own device for email and calendaring and things. We do not provide tablets and software generically to our volunteers. Therefore, for example, with our volunteer reporting tool, they have to report in using one of our applications. We make sure it runs on a variety of platforms, Macs and regular PCs and things like that.
Sounds like we could probably talk longer, and we will definitely have you back on the show before another 2 years passes. But we are out of time for today. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My guest today was Doreen Andrews, the Peace Corps Chief Information Officer. Doreen, this was fascinating. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you. It's been delightful.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.